The new state budget and capital bill look pretty good for Illinois State University.
I think we're just most grateful for the stability.
That's ISU spokesperson Eric Jomey. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is GLT's The Leadoff.
Support for GLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Tuesday, June 4th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from GLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with a renovation that's been in the works for over a decade on the Illinois State University campus. It could soon become a reality, but as GLT's Eric Stock reports, past history has taught the university to take nothing for granted.
The new state budget, which lawmakers have approved, sets aside nearly $62 million to renovate the College of Fine Arts complex. The state approved the project 10 years ago, but lawmakers never appropriated the money. ISU spokesman Eric Jomey.
We are very happy to see that, but we always take kind of a cautious approach because we know these things don't move all that quickly.
The state put the project on the back burner for years during the fierce budget battles between then-Governor Bruce Rauner and the Democrat-controlled legislature.
And that was something we were waiting on, and then the budget impasse had quite an effect on that. And that's been back in the budget for a couple of years now.
But lawmakers instead have approved deferred maintenance on the building in recent years. The state's new capital bill also targets $89 million to renovate Milner Library, plus another $40 million for deferred maintenance. ISU is also getting a state appropriation of close to $70 million, a 5% increase over last year, but still lower than what it got 5 years ago, prior to several years of stopgap funding measures for higher education in Illinois.
I think we're just most grateful for the stability. We know that something stable is coming along, and then that allows us to do our budgeting and kind of know where we stand from 1 year to the next.
Illinois plans to fund its $45 billion capital bill by doubling the state's gas tax to 38 cents starting July 1st, raising vehicle registration fees and increasing the cigarette tax. I'm Eric Stock.
And here are some of the other stories we're following in the GLT newsroom. Citizens to Ensure Fair Transit continues calls for Connect Transit to reverse the decision to drop the Olive route in Normal. Members spoke again at last night's Normal Town Council meeting. Jury selection continues today in Peoria in the capital murder case of the man accused in the disappearance of U of I visiting scholar Yingying Zhang. Brent Christensen is accused of kidnapping and killing the missing Chinese researcher nearly 2 years ago. And the local LGBTQ community is celebrating the start of Pride Month by honoring the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots, largely seen as the official start of the gay rights movement. Those stories and more at WGLT.org. GLT's news magazine, Sound Ideas, comes your way at noon and 6 p.m. today. After a career of caregiving in the social services realm, Laura Furlong says she plans to care for her aging parents as she enters retirement at the end of the month. Furlong has worked for nearly 26 years, the last six as CEO, at Mark First, the agency in Normal, which offers assistance to those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. In this Sound Ideas preview, Furlong talks to GLT's Eric Stock.
And when I think about starting 26 years ago, many people with developmental and intellectual disabilities in our community actually lived in institutions far away from their families, losing that connection to their community. And a movement that actually began shortly after I started was bringing people from institutions back to their families and back to their communities. And that movement continues to grow even today.
Now, funding for agencies such as Mark First have been very much in peril in recent years, though it's never been easy, of course. How has the climate changed over the years to, as you said, enable for more services around the home? And how do you get your message out about the effectiveness about money spent on these services?
Yeah, well, certainly community-based services cost about a fifth of what it costs to serve someone in a congregate institutional setting. So we know that it's better economically to provide those services. It certainly has been a struggle for funding, as we've seen times where we haven't had a budget, we've had delayed budgeting, and we certainly have gone 12 years without any rate increases for the services that we provide for people here locally in the community.
And what is your level of optimism for the future of social service agencies such as yours in the state of Illinois and in the coming years as you prepare to hand over the reins?
Yeah, I think the funding piece is a really big challenge for us to make sure that we have adequate, qualified, direct support professionals, people who work in our field to support folks. As I think about the future, I think it's important for us to continue to have that strong voice about the importance for community-based services and to have people remain locally. We are encouraged that the budget that will be signed hopefully this week will have a small increase for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in their services. But again, we have to make up for 12 years of not having any rate increases, and that is a very difficult hurdle and barrier for our work and for the supports for people to remain close to their families in our community.
Do you have an idea at this point where that additional increase may go, or is it too soon at this point?
Yeah, we'll hope when we receive that money to apply that directly to those who provide direct services to people with developmental disabilities. That will be a huge piece of our work.
Now, a figure I've heard quoted often is that those with disabilities live 25 years less than the able-bodied people, and they are more likely to suffer from chronic conditions. Has there been any progress made in reducing that gap in recent years? And is there any hope that that number could be reduced?
Yeah. And we are, Eric, that's a very good question. And we are seeing people with intellectual and developmental disabilities live much longer. When I started 26 years ago, we rarely had people over the age of 50 receiving services. They often did not live that long. We now have people well into their 70s who continue to receive services from us. And that is really part of the fortunate piece of people living in their community and having access to physicians and medical practices, families, and a support network around them as well. Of course, as people age, we also see new challenges. So we oftentimes, people didn't live long enough for us to see them experience dementia, for example. And now we are experiencing people who have dementia. So it's a new level of training and expertise that we need to bring in to make sure that we can continue to support people in their community and their homes here locally as they age.
That was retiring MarkFirst CEO Laura Furlong with GLT's Eric Stock. Hear more of this interview later today at noon and 6 p.m. on Sound Ideas. Before we let you go, there are two McLean County Board Committee meetings today. Transportation meets at 8 a.m. Justice meets at 4:30 when they're expected to approve an amended agreement with Chestnut Health Systems to provide evidence-based substance abuse treatment services for problem-solving courts. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are also willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.